This is Phil Ferrand. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to whack the thing. Anyways, one of these days, I'm driving home, by the way. One of these days, I am going to get my little remote control fixed so that I don't have to, like, flip it and put it down on the dashboard, and I'm not hitting it on the windshield and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, it's episode 779, I think, which means next week. I think next week is whatever we are. Next week, we finish up year 14. And then the week after that, we start 15 years worth of podcasts. So there you go. Is that right? We're starting 15 years. Because 14, I did this a couple of weeks ago. I think that's right. I'll look it up. So I gotta see if the family can get together and we'll do our yearly podcast just to kind of catch up and see where we are, et cetera, et cetera. So all is well. All is well. It's been a good week at work. Got some things done. I'm actually got to be back on real development for a little bit here. Yay! Finally got through all the end of year stuff. And things are kind of settling in. And we'll see where that goes. I am back in the old buggy, the old preacher car, which is interesting. It's been having a problem with its brakes, and so I made an appointment tomorrow to have it looked at, because as I've been pushing the brake, maybe you can hear that. So I've got some kind of rotor that's out of round, or the brake pad's out, or something's loose, or I don't know. But anyways, hopefully we will make it home without incident. And then if we can make it home without incident, hopefully we can get into Cloverleaf tomorrow without incident. And if we can do all of that, then we'll get it in and we'll see what my good friends down at Cloverleaf Auto have to say about the buggy. Writing is good. I did land the book this last weekend. So I've got book 20 roughed in. It was interesting, after I finished up the epilogue, and I thought, okay, that's pretty good. Let's just, then after, like, you know, 2 days after, a day after, I went, oh yeah, that's what I need to do. Because sometimes this whole epilogue thing is so interesting, trying to hit the moment, because you can have the same information, but if it's not worded right, or if it's not from the right perspective, it just, it doesn't land. But I think I know how to get it landed. It's fine as it is now, but it hasn't landed yet. Really, really landed. So I'm reading through it now. When I get to that spot, we'll see if we can get it landed, because I think I know what I'm missing. I'm trying to tell something from the wrong perspective, and so I just have to switch characters right there at the end, and that'll be good. Yeah, just make it home, buggy. Make it home. So that's good. Still working on Bugs Bunny costume. That comes up the end of April, so I still have some time. Although I'm starting to hone down now, because now that I kind of know what I'm supposed to be doing on this, I have some estimation of how much work it is. I did build the Bugs Bunny paper mask. I got that completed. It was a little small. I enlarged it, which was a little tricky because it all had to fit on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. Got almost everything on except one particular shape, and so I had to split that across two pieces of paper, but that's okay. It'll work fine. And so I got those all printed out this last week, and I have them scored but not cut out. So next couple of days, start cutting out those pieces, and then starting, you know, to work my way through gluing all those together. Now that I've done it once, it's always good to do something once, because it certainly certainly gets easier to do it the next time if you've done it once. So I kind of know what to expect going through this time, and so I'll be working on that, doing my read-through this next week, try to get that all put together. I think I know what we're doing for the kids' costumes, for the covers. I think I know what the base pictures are for the covers on the book. Just coasting on costumes this week and next week. This week's easy, dress in blue day, awareness of colon cancer. Next week is National Button Week. That's always fun. And then the next week is Leprechaun. So, coasting out on there. I am working on another experiment. I had mentioned I'm trying to get my nitric oxide up to lower my blood pressure a little. It's not bad. You know, I'm running 127, 130 over 80-ish. So I'm kind of already just up above what is theoretically normal. And so I'm trying to get that back down to where it has been for years. When I've taken blood pressure on the weekend, you know, it was in the 115, 117 range over like 72, 73. And just here in the last few years, it started to climb. Or last year it started to climb. And I think that was partially due to the fact, I've mentioned this, that I didn't have enough greens, and so then I was going to go on beet powder. Well, I was out with a buddy on Saturday who's been doing the beet powder stuff, but he uses the actual powder, not the little capsules that I'd been taking because I didn't want the extra sugar, or extra carbs, I should say. And so I said, well, what are you taking? And that kind of thing. And I went and looked it up, and the stuff that he's taking, which is from the same company, it's like 5 grams of beet powder, and he's doing it twice a day. And for me, taking 3 capsules is only 1 gram. So he's getting like 10 times the amount of intake that I'm getting from what I'm doing. I'm like, well, no wonder this isn't working, you know. So for now, I've cut out all the greens, and I've cut out the beets and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just trying to load up on the beet powder to see what effect that's going to make. And then we'll see where we go from there. So I might put the greens back in, but I kind of wanted to get things isolated down. And then if the capsules don't seemingly do it, then I'm going to order the beet powder and start doing the twice-a-day dosage, where I get up to like 10 grams of beet powder a day, and see if that helps. And then we'll go from there. We do have small groups tonight, so I'm going to have to go quick when I get home on this. So this week, I know I've talked about the deep state here for a while, but I got to tell you, when I watch everything that's going on in the world, it's just like, this is ridiculous. And it's so familiar to me. Because I grew up in a country that was a banana republic, you know, where everybody would use the law to persecute their political enemies. And it was all nepotistic. And, you know, I mean, this is just the way it is in third world countries. And I grew up in a third world country. So none of this stuff surprises me. And what has surprised me is in recent years, I could guess this type of stuff was going on behind the scenes, but we've just gotten to the place in recent years where there's just no effort to hide the fact that it's going on. And I've talked about this. And the latest thing in this is the paper that wasn't. So I came across one of these YouTube doctors, Dr. Boz, BozMD.com, and she does a lot of stuff with diet, and she actually recommends a 72-hour fast eating only sardines. And I was like, well, hey, there you go. So, you know, that's fun. I haven't ever done a 72-hour fast eating only sardines. I may have to try this sometime. Pick a weekend and just do it. Because that might be interesting. She claims that, you know, and for people who kind of need a reset, she claims it's a good reset for them to kind of get them started into kind of a keto lifestyle. So she came out and did a video, and I gotta tell you, I was really impressed. She was reviewing an article that had been peer-reviewed and published, and it was from Peter McCullough and, you know, those guys who run in that circle, which, you know, they are not in the pharmacies or the pharma company's back pocket. And they have definitely been and continue to be critical of what the pharmacies did or the pharmaceutical companies did during COVID with the creation of their vaccines. And I got a little bit tickled because kind of about the same time that this article that I'm talking about is gaining prominence, then there was the release of another thing. Oh, we did a giant study. 99 million doses of the vaccine, and we checked out to see whether or not the vaccine, you know, if it was effective or if it was safe, or, you know, what are the consequences of. And they're like, 99 million people were studying it. There were some side effects, but really not that many. All right, right. Okay, sure. You know, as I've said before, early on, when I end up and I'm just a guy going to Walmart, and I personally know two people who have terrible side effects with the vaccine. My wife is emptying something in the garbage can here while I'm trying to back into the garage. So I'm trying to do this to where I don't hit her, I don't hit anything in the garage, and then we'll finish up real quick. You know, I knew that there was a problem with the vaccine from the fact that I personally knew two people that had terrible side effects. Had to be on high blood pressure medicine for months and months. And one of the guys in the office where I work, he is still dealing with problems. And so, you know, this business of, oh, you know, there are just a few side effects for people. Yeah, right. Anyway, so there was a paper that was released. I think it was submitted in November last year, something like that. And it was peer-reviewed for weeks. They had 12 people review it and answered all the questions, et cetera, et cetera. And so this doctor actually reviewed this paper on her channel, and frankly, she was aghast. She said over and over in this review that she had done, she said, I recommended the vaccine to people. She said, I recommended that my family get it. She said, I had no idea. She said, all we can do is depend on our medical authorities to actually look at stuff and make good judgment calls. And she said, frankly, when I read this, she said, wait, 8 peer reviewers, not 12. She said, I was just aghast that all this stuff was going on. And there's a bunch of stuff in here. I've mentioned some of it before. But it was inequities and oddities in the way they conducted the trials, that they vaccinated the control groups as soon as they could make a claim that the vaccine was effective. By vaccinating the control groups, Pfizer destroyed any potential for you to see what sort of outcomes there might have been between the control group and those who were vaccinated after a year. Because it was like after they ran it for 3 or 4 months, they went, yep, okay, it's great. And they just went through and started, you know, they unblinded the people who were in the control group, first of all, and told them they were in the control group, and then asked them, well, do you want to get the vaccine? Because it's really effective. Well, of course they're going to say yes. Bam, by doing that now, you take away the possibility that you can compare outcomes. And so they did stuff like that, and then they hid some of the deaths involved. And, like, I think one of the things was they had some people come over from the control group, got vaccinated, and then I think a couple of them died, and they said, well, those are people who died in the control group. You know, it's like all that stuff is going on, the shenanigans that they pulled with the emergency use. You know, there's all that kind of stuff that I had known about. Well, this doctor was, you know, talking about this, talking about the fact that there have been some DNA contaminations and, you know, just going through this article. And I actually downloaded the article she was talking about because I thought, man, how did this make it through the gauntlet? Well, a couple of days goes by and the other thing that she did in her video that I was really, really impressed with, she just flat out and can't, said, I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. And I just want to apologize to people because I didn't know this stuff was going on. I mean, so that was kind of really the first doctor that I just heard come out and say, yep, this is a problem. So she went through it. She was very impressed with the paper. She was impressed with the way the you know, the reviewers had done. She was impressed with the journal that had been released in. All impressed, impressed, impressed. Everything's great. So then a couple of days later, she makes another video. And lo and behold, surprise, surprise, the paper was retracted from the journal. This is kind of the pattern. You know, people are allowed to say what they want to say, but if it starts to get traction and too many people start looking at stuff and too many people start raising questions, well, then the hammer comes down. And so the hammer just came down and this journal just retracted it. And Peter McCullough actually put out a statement on it where they read, from this statement, and it's buried in here somewhere, but basically, it said, yep, we're retracting this paper because we have serious questions about the methodologies and we don't feel that there's any redeeming way this can be redeemed. So there's no point in appealing this because we're not going to publish this or we're not going to keep this published. And so, you know, of course, Peter McCullough and I guess the others have filed, an appeal, but it's just dead. It's just dead because, you know, they're not about to let this type of information hang out there for very long because the deep state is like, nope. And then of course they got to publish their own study about millions of people and it's just a few side effects, but the rest of it's great. Sure. So this is just another one of those examples of things that are okay until you ruffle the wrong feathers, and then the hammer comes down, and then, you know. And this Dr. Buzz, she put out this subsequent video about this, you know, was I wrong? Paper has been redacted. And she just went through the stuff again, and she said all of this stuff is documented. She mentions here at the beginning, she said, I reviewed a paper about COVID-19 on this channel that has been retracted, and we're going to talk about that paper and why they took it down. So let me set the stage. This paper wasn't just an opinion paper about COVID-19. It was a 38-page scientifically referenced paper reviewing the process of COVID-19 and the effects and side effects of COVID-19. It was cross-referenced with nearly 300 scientific articles, and there were 8 peer reviewers for this article, and that means there were 8 scientists not chosen by the authors who reviewed the article, asked questions about the article, and all 8 signed off that it was scientifically based, peer-reviewed article about COVID-19 and the processes over the last 3 years. And so then she goes on to say, so we're going to take a look at what went wrong with the rolling out of this vaccine and setting up a trial at such time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, so from a scientific process, there's nothing wrong with this paper. But of course, it reaches a conclusion that the deep state doesn't want you to reach. And so as soon as it starts getting some traction and as soon as it starts creating some noise, well, bam. You know, Banana Republic stuff. This is all just Banana Republic stuff. It's really fascinating to see where all this is going to go. But I do have small groups. And I got to get inside and hep out a little bit and get things going. So it's been an interesting week. It's a fascinating life. We are in for a really interesting 6 months or so here. And while I would not want it to happen, I'm having a hard time believing, especially the way, you know, everything is being tried to keep Trump out of this election. I mean, just everything is being tried. I'm having a really hard time believing that if he becomes the Republican nominee and it looks like he's going to beat Biden, I'm having a real hard time believing that somebody isn't going to try to kill him. Because the intelligence agencies absolutely do not want Trump elected. Because all the shenanigans they pulled in the 2020 and all the shenanigans they pulled through his first term, that's common knowledge now. And I can't believe that they think he won't come after them once he's president. So this is going to be really fascinating to watch. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.